From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
A few months ago, we started a series called Living a Mountain Life to explore some local residents' long-time experience in this mountain town, how they created a life here when they perhaps only thought they'd be here for a season or two. Our guest, next guest, is Gordon Lang. He is retiring this season as the head comp coach for Park City Ski and Snowboard Cross Country Team, and we invited him on the show to reflect on his life in Park City. Gordon Lang, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning.
So good to have you on, and so good to know you both personally and as a community member, and congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it hasn't really set in yet, but the first couple of weeks has been really busy. I find myself like struggling to get it all done.
That's not encouraging for those who are listening who are hoping to retire soon. It's supposed to be refreshing and alleviating of stress, but you're telling us there's another side that's still downhill for us. Begin the journey for us. What originally brought you here to Park City?
I first came to Park City to work with Torbjörn Karlsson and work with a bunch of national team kids in a private club. And then got picked up with the U.S. ski team after that and did, 8 years with them. And then a couple off years, and then graduated into skiing with the local Park City Nordic Club then, and kind of started growing that.
Well, I love how you said graduated into working with the locals here, because for us as locals, it definitely feels like we had graduated by getting your experience and expertise and passion in the community. And there's been generations of kids, and I'm sure you've even coached, you know, kids of kids that you've coached.
Yeah, many times.
Not that you're that seasoned, but
well, I am that seasoned, and I almost came close to coaching grandchildren of kids that I originally coached. So, you know, I've been doing it for 43 years, and some of the kids that I coached in college, I later coached their kids. Their kids have, those children have now gone on to have kids, but I'm going to miss that by a couple of years, I think.
Wow. Gordon, talk to us about the evolution of cross-country skiing in Park City, in and around Park City, because there was just a spattering of youth development teams, and now it seems as though it's sort of coalesced under Park City Ski and Snowboard, but I could be wrong. And how has it grown over the years?
So that's a pretty big evolutionary story, and there's a couple of tie-ins or coincidentally that helped it along. So one, the Wasatch Citizens Series was started in about 1990, Dave Hanscom and company. And that was, associated with TUNA, the Utah Nordic Alliance, and originally set up for people who like to tour but also like to do some citizens races. Well, they brought their kids along because they had no babysitters. You know, they had to drag them along. So these kids got drug along, and they happened to actually then have to get into ski racing. And so that's one aspect that really helped Park City and Utah, I think,
that's
grow
great.
In terms of ski racing. And then, of course, you had the Olympics. So we have these awesome venues that some of them are directly associated with cross-country skiing, some of them not, but they're all associated with winter sports. So the opportunity to come in and try those things out, you know, always existed. And then I think the generational thing that we just have going on automatically, in other words, parents who get together and they have their children and then those children have children, you know, we're two or three generations into what I would call a culture. And so, you know, that's why it's growing, or part of the reason it's growing. You yeah. compare that to Norway, where, you know, they're 15 generations into this, and people ask, well, why are they so good? Why are they always that good? What's that generational stuff that's going on?
Yeah, where so anyway. It becomes almost part of your DNA. And that was a question that we wanted to ask you about a couple weeks ago. Pete and I were talking about traumatizing our own children to enjoy the sports that that we so enjoy. In my case, it was getting my kids to mountain bike race before I should have done. I should have just let them enjoy the sport. And then they hated mountain biking through all of high school. Now they mm-hmm. like it as they're older. But your two kids, Leah and Wyatt, one went on to become a internationally ranked, I think, cross-country mm-hmm. skier, Leah. And then I remember Wyatt not really taking to it. I don't know if that's changed, but could you talk about, because I think parents are really mm-hmm. interested in this, how do I get my kids to love the sport that I love?
I don't know.
It's okay to be honest.
I can tell you what I do to coach kids to love the sport I love. And that is, cross-country skiing is ridiculously hard. It's a technically challenging sport and physically challenging sport. Probably as hard as any sport out there. And to go out there and try to beat somebody into submission, thinking that they're going to fall in love with this sport, isn't the way to do it. So I try to teach the love of the sport first. And it's actually not that hard when you think of it that way, because we can train in any place, anywhere, with anything that has anything to do with outdoors, right? Mm. And so, we can mountain bike, we can run, we can ski, we can tour, we can swim, we can, do all of these outside activities, which then becomes pretty interesting. And then you kind of fall in love with the idea of training. And then, you know, some people, if they have that competitive gene in them, yeah. like to just turn it into a competition. Now, for your own kids, that's kind of like personality. Leah had the drive and the competitiveness to just, you know, just own it, just to mob it. And that was maybe a little unfortunate for Wyatt, because he was quite a talented little runner and everything, but that was her sport and nobody else in the family was going to compete with her in it. So he got pushed out a little bit. And he's a little lazy, you know, so he doesn't like to just put himself on the edge all day long yeah. with that. But he turned out to be a great mountain skier. He was big into big mountain competitions, which to me is quite frightening.
Yes.
But they both developed a love for the outdoors, you know, and this
That's
is kind
important.
Of what you were speaking to a little bit. You know, maybe mountain biking wasn't going to be their exact thing, but both your kids are now active outdoors. And so we took those kids on river trips. We took them backpacking. We took them and a lot of ski races. And they both now have come up to me on one level or another and saying, thanks for getting us outside, you know, because they have that now in their makeup to just go out and be outside in the mountains.
And I'll never forget, and I had the pleasure of getting to know both your kids, and Wyatt, you know, for as much as he was an off-the-couch kind of athlete, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and jumped in once or twice into cross-country practice and was faster than pretty much most of the rest of the other guys without even trying. And so, Wyatt, if you are listening, it's in the genes, and we're so thankful that you're a great man and love the outdoors with your dad. So, but so for your next adventure, you're bringing yourself back to Jackson. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm actually in Jackson right now. Ironically, Rick Capalla from Sun Valley has just driven over, and he's downstairs tying flies up. And as soon as this interview is over, we're going to grab the drift boat and throw it into the Snake River and fish all day.
Now that sounds like the kind of retirement I was hoping to hear from you, Gordon.
Yeah, well, it's hard though.
It's hard. Yeah, first you got to wake up and drink your coffee.
Yeah.
And then talk to Pete and Lynn on the radio.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, it's nice because the fishing's not going to get good for a couple more hours here because it's a little cold. So I have this time to chat.
Mm. Well, and Jackson's got a wonderful environment too, as much as Park City does. And I believe that's your hometown. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where I grew up. That was a spectacular time to be from Jackson, is the 60s and 70s. I couldn't have been a luckier kid.
And you're handing off the reins to Park City. You're able to step away and hand off to a really great team member who's going to really continue that culture of creating a community-wide culture and enthusiasm for fun. I couldn't imagine a better person. I'll let you kind of share who that's going to be.
Yeah, Liz Steven has been working with me the last couple of years, and she comes off from an amazing cross-country career on her own, a competition career, and she just has this personality and enthusiasm that's just going to be fantastic for Park City. I mean, we couldn't be happier to have her, and I couldn't be happier to have her step into my shoes. Everybody has been saying, well, those certainly are going to be big shoes to fill. Well, no, they're not.
She's got little feet, but a powerful personality.
Yeah, she's just, she knows a few of the things that work for me. I think she's gonna grow so quick into that job that the kids are going to be in great hands. And we have some amazing kids coming up too, you know. So the program is strong, the numbers are strong, the talent field is strong, the support system is pretty good. So it's going to be an easy transition, I think. And it was quick too.
Yeah. You know, Gordon, we spoke to Rosie Brennan after her World Cup win, you know, this last season, and she was talking to us about how when she was growing up, and she was relatively, you know, late to cross-country skiing. She started when she was about 14, and but when she came back, I think it was from college after she was competing, that's about the time they started grooming Round Valley for cross-country skiing. And, you know, she said prior to that, there was like, you know, 5 or 10K to ski here in Park City. And now if you think about all the trails from, you know, Jeremy Ranch to the UOP to even Ecker Hill Grooms Trails and Round Valley and, you know, all of these many kilometers of cross-country skiing, it has truly, you know, transformed this community as well with the growth and the interest in cross-country skiing. And I think that, yes, it's now we're stepping into this evolved sport. And it is exciting to have Liz Steven at the helm. And you must feel, you just miss, feel good about it, and you're going fly fishing later on this morning.
Well, you touched on a couple of things. I mean, one of my all-time favorite athletes ever is, always has been and always will be, Rosie Brennan. And you're right, we didn't have a ton of trails to work with. In fact, one real quick story, the first time I took her out to junior national championships was in Truckee, California. And must have been a mass start distance race, like a 5 or a 10K. I can't remember. She was a U18, and she was in the group, and the group was going up a long hill, and they all started herringboning. It was a classic race, and they all started herringboning. And she did not have any idea of what they were doing, because all of our training was done at White Pine, you know, which is a golf course. There's no herringboning out there. And she gets done with the race, which she won. She's a national champion. And she goes, what were these girls doing? What's this herringboning thing? You didn't ever teach me that. And I'm going, well, I couldn't. There wasn't any place to teach it at White Pine. But she just decided that she was going to arm it and just went up straight up the hill with her arms past the group and won the race.
That's a great story.
Yeah, and then Round Valley, man, the evolution of Round Valley. You know, we had those ugly winters for a while where we were trying to do those distance races out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of kept stumbling, but boy, oh boy, we've gotten enough snow over the last couple of years, and the grooming and the mountain trails has done out there has just made it one of the coolest places, I think, in the country to go skiing. It is so fun. You know, it's gentle. It rolls. There's not too many places that cross-country ski trails exist in scrub oak, which I find, you know, even in winter, scrub oak can, you know, I like it how it's gnarly and cool.
Absolutely. Hey, I wanted to ask you this question about, because you grew up in Jackson. I know you were always connected to Jackson. Your beloved mom lived there, and hopefully you still have the ability to move into the family house. I certainly hope you don't have to buy anything up there, because Jackson is more expensive than Park City, and the woes here are largely created around the fact that Park City is so expensive and there's no affordable housing. And I was just wondering about how that shakes out for someone trying to move back to Jackson.
I'm the luckiest person in the world. Yes, I'm moving into the family house, basically, and that has allowed me to do this. And Jackson right now is in a really tough spot because they are they don't have housing, and it's not just, I mean, wealthy people can't buy a house. There's no inventory. And so now the prices have gone just off the charts. Did I lose you?
Nope, you're good. We're just reflecting on the real estate market here deeply. So good thing.
Yeah.
We're just speechless.
Speechless about housing. So.
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. And these mountain towns, you know, it's going to be a real struggle for them to exist. You know, before 1990, before we had computers, before we had internet, people that wanted to live in these towns had to find some work that existed in the town and, you know, eke out a living that way. Well, now, just if you really want to, you can come in and you can work from home, which just puts the additional demand on the community in terms of, you know, numbers of people and the available housing. So it's going to be a hard problem to solve.
Well, we certainly hope that you'll be able to take some of your extra time and do some volunteering up in Jackson. There's some great organizations up there, and maybe help solve some of those problems.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I will if I have time.
If you have time.
Or just go fly fishing.
Or just go fly fishing. I was hoping maybe, you know, you could be mayor of Jackson.
Yeah, right. No, that's not going to be me.
Well, it is certainly an honor speaking with you, and thank you for leaving Park City in a better place. Any words of wisdom for those like myself who have kids and we want to get our kids into cross-country skiing and grow up to be like your daughter and you and your son?
You know, some of the questions that Lynn had that I spent some time thinking about, one of them was, you know, what defines the mountain life? And when you connect with the mountains and you start to live in the mountains, you're always challenging yourself, and you're challenging yourself with adventure, basically. I mean, if you lock out the door and you get on the trails and you go into the mountains, it's always a little adventure, and you always find some sort of self-accomplishment when you're done with the adventure, you know, and you've challenged yourself. And I think that's what makes it fun for me, at least, and my family, is that there's always a bit of a challenge in the mountains. And if you get your kids out the door, and it can be mountain biking, cross-country skiing, alpine skiing, river rafting, whatever, if you you gain that knowledge and you challenge yourself, there's that accomplishment you get, that reward. And I think that really, that can really hook a kid.
That's such a great point. And I love that you say this, because as you probably heard the tail end of our last interview with Vanessa O'Brien, you know, she's like the Seven Summits person, you know, and
yeah.
It's, you know, adventure comes in many different sizes, shapes, and volumes, and altitudes. And so it's great that each one of us can challenge ourselves. No, we don't have to
dig a foot out of the snow.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. I do have my only bucket list mountaineering project is just climbing the Grand Teton, because I kind of feel like I'll probably survive that.
Unless Gordon takes you.
Yeah, this is a great idea. Ultimately, now I realize
cross-country
why we
ski up the Grand Teton.
We invited
Gordon
Lang on the show to see if he'll take me up the Grand Teton.
Yeah, I haven't been up there for a while, but the times I did climb it, it's always hard. Yeah. It's not just it's cold up there, and it's you know, and it's hard.
Yes.
It's one of these challenges, you know, even though it's not a super technical climb, it's long and it's
exposed,
cold.
Yeah.
You know, even in July, you come around that corner on Wall Street and the wind's blowing about 45 miles an hour and the sun is coming up on the east side, and you just kind of break around the corner into the sun and your hands are all numb, and there's that challenge.
Yeah.
You know, take that step.
Well, it's great to think about. It sounds really brutal, actually. But Gordon Lang, we're out of time. We love speaking with you, and we know you'll be back to visit in Park City, and we might just come visit you up in Jackson.
Anytime.
All right. Gordon Lang, the retired now Park City ski and snowboard cross country head comp coach. That was a mouthful. Gordon, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right.
Goodbye, guys.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.